Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the top dollar to my Isaiah Swerve Scott, Mr. Matt Scott. No relation. How you doing?
Wow.
I know.
Good times. It's sad. I'm sad. Very. I wasn't ready for that. But damn, I'm good. I'm good. Generally, this week is an exhausting week to talk about pro wrestling. Very, very, very exhausting. If we're going to look at silver linings, though, we weren't about to podcast and seeing the releases coming out in real time. We've had a little time to process it. It's a wild week with wrestling, and not a fun week.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is just so disheartening, and I feel like if it's disheartening for us, I can only imagine what the superstars are going through. Like,
yeah,
just to be okay. So what we're talking about is WWE had another string of releases last night. A few, on top of the other 70
that they already did earlier this year.
So WWE have, according to Fightful.com, Sean Ross Sapp, WWE had released John Morrison, Top Dolla, Ashanti the Adonis, Isaiah Swerve Scott, collectively known as Hit Row. Tegan Knox, Drake Maverick, Shane Thorne, and Jackson Riker. So it just sucks. Like, that's why, you know, the homage to Hit Row at the top, because I mean, what a freaking roller coaster. Like,
no, that's so disrespectful. Like,
it really is.
Not, I mean, beyond the wrestlers themselves, if we could be even a little selfish for a minute as fans, like, what are you thinking? This is the, like, definitely one of the hottest acts, and there have been weeks where they have been the most interesting thing happening in WWE. They're just so different.
NXT specifically, yeah,
so different, and WWE can't figure out what to do with them or like keep them around. I am confusion. I don't understand. It's a lot to process.
Right, exactly. Like, it really is. It's a lot, because when we came back, you know, when we came back earlier this summer, all of our first guests, we showed them Hit Row, you know what I'm saying? And every single one of them were like, at the end of the podcast, we always ask our guests, who do you want to keep up with? Who did you, you know, were you surprised by the most? And I think what 90% of them said Hit Row. Like, they're like, they're so excited to see Hit Row go further and all of that. So like, and that, you know, that's from a casual point of view, which WWE claims that's who they want to reach, you know?
Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is that literally the week before BFAB was released, which, mind you, was less than 3 weeks ago. Like maybe that was 2 weeks ago at this point.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So like I was out walking on the street and I hear music in the distance like you do in a city. And I'm like, what? Do I hear the Hit Row theme song? Is my Spotify playing? No, wait, what? There's just someone randomly biking by playing the Hit Row song. And to me, that was a moment.
Wow.
Obviously, before the releases, where it clicked like, damn, they have potential for like mainstream appeal, mainstream crossover, or just crossover to different audiences that they don't already appeal to. And not only potential, but they were already on that path. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, somehow they're all gone. Like, what? What?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, how did we get to here at this point? Because, like, when did they got drafted? Yeah, like you said, 3 weeks ago. Like, maybe four? When was the draft? Like, the beginning of October? It didn't kick in until the last week of October?
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, how did we get here? And it's just... To me, it feels like out of touch corporate executives.
Yeah.
You know, don't understand what they have and then they cut them. Like, it's so annoying. And especially like Isaiah Swarscott, I think we talked about it, but he, you know, he used to be the MLW champion. If I remember correctly, under his original name, I think was Shane Strickland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a dude that I knew about. This is one of the few people that I've actually followed before they got to WWE. Like, he was just so magnetic on MLW that me and my husband really, really liked him. Like, on MLW, made me watch I couldn't even tell you what channel MLW is on, but we watched it for him. So when we heard he was coming to WWE, it was just like, he's done so good. Like, him specifically, he's done so good in NXT, in WWE. You know, I don't think he ever became, did he ever become the Cruiserweight champion? I don't think he did, but he was a North American champion. And then when they put Hit Row around him, I thought this was it. Like, he was already a top star. And I was like, this is going to make him a superstar. And again, I still feel like Hit Row had, their merch was sold out. Like, they sold out of their merch was sold out. Wow. So please give me a reason as to why they were cut. I really want to know.
There's literally like not a good reason that they could possibly give other than it being something that was out of WWE's control. And I don't believe that because as we have seen multiple times this year and, you know, like as context, like I am sitting here staring at the list that wrestling commentator, I'll say Denise and I'm blanking on how to say her last name, but I'll say Salcedo. Denise posted just a Notes app list of the 80 releases this year, and like at some point, well, I mean, you know what? Just really, really quickly to like run through this. It'll take about 45 seconds. Bobby Fish, Mercedes Martinez, Leon Ruff, Tyler Rust, Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas, Ari Sterling, Kona Reeves, Zechariah Smith, Asher Hill, Giant Sand. See, I can't even go through the list because it's so freaking long. But one day it would be nice to do it because it is all these people who are like such stars and it's really not a reflection on their ability. It's not a reflection of their star power. It's a reflection on a company that's definitely out of touch with a lot of what its fans want. And it's also a reflection on the fact that this is not a pro wrestling company. This is a sports entertainment, increasingly moving to being an entertainment company. And so if they think they could get rid of these incredible people and kind of continue on, that's on them. But it does suck because, like, at the end of the day, I'm thinking of a tweet from the former Frankie Monet, Taya Valkyrie, who said, stop supporting a company that has zero respect for their talent. You love pro wrestling. Spend your money on the hundreds of alternatives. This is wrong. Ethically, as employers, they don't care about us, talent, or fans, which, like, that is probably the hottest take that's come out. But I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Especially a hot take since she kind of thanked them 2 weeks ago, though.
Well, also, I mean, I could see how she's mad because, like, her husband was also just released this wave. Right. So especially brutal. But the thing that's really brutal in my mind is the fact that each and every time they give the explanation of budget cuts, and it just feels like even if that's something they feel they have to do for liability or whatever reason, like it just does. It feels like it's insulting the talents, intelligence, and it's also horrible for ours. And it's horrible for company culture purposes. Like, okay, I could be the best performer ever and budget cuts. That's it. Okay.
Like, you cannot say budget cuts when you've made record amount of profit in like within the year. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you're banking on us being stupid and your talent being stupid. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And yeah, John Morrison, like you pointed out, John Morrison was released here in this round. It led to speculation that a lot of people think that maybe this round of cuts may have been people who may have asked to be released as almost like, you know, a rebound from what happened 2 weeks ago. Like, that would make sense.
I don't believe that, though, for John Morrison in particular.
You don't think so?
No, because, like, how could Taya Valkyrie be so upset?
Yeah, that's true.
I think that it's, like, one thing that I heard was that John Morrison, well, he was on the European tour a couple weeks ago when they did the other releases. And so maybe there were people who were on that tour who they didn't release because they were like literally in another country on tour. Maybe, but we never know. There's no way of knowing because there's no transparency with any of it, right?
Oh my gosh. That makes a lot of sense.
But I don't know if that pans out. I do know that John Morrison was on the UK tour. I don't know about the rest of everyone else. I would just encourage people to like go and check out the list of names that were released, because it is really
from the whole year,
from the whole freaking year, not even the whole pandemic, because that's even longer, the whole year. And just to see
2021
just to see the people, see like who's on that list. The it's wild talent, because if we look at even Survivor Series the last 2 years, I was like running into like clips and pictures and other things from past Survivor Series. And it's like, damn, like Lana was the sole survivor of the women's team last year.
That was just last year.
And like, look at her. And that's not the only, I mean, we could go through the list of people who had really strong Survivor Series showings. They had the NXT Survivor Series dynamic back in, I think, 2019, exactly. And a number of people from that were also gone. So, like, it's hard to get invested when, you know, maybe our faves, like the main event faves, won't be let go by any stretch of the imagination, but, like, everyone else is seemingly dispensable. So it's hard to kind of get invested, especially knowing how brutal it is. I will also point out that like Xavier Woods, King Xavier, was on G4.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was just about to go into that.
Mm-hmm. When he got the news. Yeah. What did you think of that, Mari?
I saw that. Some people are saying it's not real. I really don't know. I don't know how they would think it's not real. I don't know. But if
not
it's
real,
true,
like,
it does, yeah, it doesn't make sense, because I mean, he just started G4, so why wouldn't it be real? But some people are saying it's from a different time. Like that clip was from a different time, but I don't know.
A different time when there were releases, or
I mean, I don't know. But anyways, I'm just throwing that out there as like allegedly, I don't know. But that's what I saw that. And my thought process is like, can you imagine like not just like the people who get fired, but people like Xavier who stay? Like people were talking about his YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down is kind of like in a limbo, which is crazy because we watch it all the time. Like me and James watch it like all the time. BRE is gone. Like not all of BRE, but they're no longer on Up Up Down Down because Jessamine, Mia are no longer with the company. Only Dakota and Shayna. And for, you know, the party, literally it's only Xavier Woods and Cesaro standing. Oh, you know? God. So it's just kind of like And this was the YouTube that he fought so hard to keep, you know, allegedly like letting WWE profit off of it, you know, and now they're just cutting all of his stuff up, you know. So
they needed to find a better way to like go about this. That's keeping in mind that you can't, you need to really take your talent's mental health into account, which I feel very confident saying, like, I don't care. I don't care if even in theory, if they offer mental health resources, they very well might, but that's not an excuse to like fire a bunch of people's friends and then expect them to be normal after the fact. Like, that's not good for anyone in any job. So this is rough and hard to watch. Even everything you're saying about up, up, down, down, like on the list of people who are released, the one name that stands out, Tyler Breeze, who was a huge part of that, right? And there are so many others, right? Ember Moon, and Keith Lee, he was probably on there a ton, right? And so, oh my gosh.
Adam Cole was on stream when he found out about Tyler Breeze being cut. Adam Cole left. He didn't sign his contract. He didn't get released.
I mean, still though, like, he's good for him that that was the, you know, the way that he was able to go out. But also, he could have very well been released too. So,
and I don't know if we talked about it, but the rumor is that Kyle O'Reilly is probably going to be joining them in AEW some point, because I think his contract is up soon.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a company that will pay you, and also where you won't have anxiety every day about potentially being released because you're not in that like top tier or in that like I don't even know who's perpetually
the untouchable, kind of like
untouchables, because that like R-Truth, I would assume, isn't being released ever. Like, that's one person I would put into that category, but anything could happen. But also, I would...
Which is funny, since he's left the company at least three times.
I know. I would feel confident saying, like, he's not going anywhere. Vince McMahon would be upset. The other wrestlers would be upset. But, like, you don't know. And it's just very hard to get invested when, like, literally week to week, these things change. It's not like, oh, we're taking you off of TV and then you're on the shelf for 5 months and then you're released. It's like, you were just here last week and you're gone.
Yeah,
maybe you won your match, maybe you had a vignette, like whatever like screen, like, but
maybe they advertised you for next week, you know.
Maybe you were on the who knows, maybe someone who's on one of the Survivor Series teams. Well, I don't know. It's horrible.
Well, it is horrible, and we kind of got to move on from this.
Well, I will just say, on a silver lining note, I just wanted to mention like the Drake Maverick thing that I saw.
A video.
I love that man. And Rockstar Spud, Drake Maverick, whatever his name is, when he decides to kind of rebrand everything again. He put out a video that was just so well produced and inspirational. So, and just with this point that, like, no one could fire you from pro wrestling, which is like a damn.
And it was a callback to his last video too, because remember he got released last year, and you know, he did the heartfelt video, and they ended up bringing him back for like a underdog run, which was good for a time. So he did, which also he released that very quickly. So I was like, did he have that loaded up in the chamber?
I need to take everyone should take notes. Like, he should teach a course on, like, maybe like masterclass.com or something like that, like how to be ready to get fired. You just anyone who's listening, you need your video ready now, just in case so you could drop it.
I don't blame him.
2 minutes later,
he's like,
oh no,
he said it happened once, it can happen again.
He said, I know it's happening again at some point, which, I mean, if it happens once, odds are that it could happen again.
That's so funny. It's not funny, but he's great. He's great.
And no,
he's
that's legendary. That was actually a legendary video. And again, check him out. I think he might still be at WWE Maverick or WWE Drake for Maverick or something like that for now. So check him out and check out that video.
And another reminder to just support your local independent wrestling scene. Mm-hmm. You know, by no stretch of the means, like Drake Maverick said, your dream was not to be a WWE superstar, is to be a pro wrestler, and nobody can fire you from pro wrestling, so, which is very true. So just support. There's plenty of other shows out there that you can support in person or online, and you know, you can follow your talent wherever they go, because that is a good thing about the reality era and social media. Yeah. Is like, you, if you find, if you like somebody and you follow them, you'll know exactly where they're at. So, well, that sounded bad, but you know what I'm saying, wrestling wise.
Maybe that sounds bad, like a stalker somebody. Sense. Like or... a stalker. Yes. Okay, just check.
Oh, but yeah, so you
don't
know,
follow people.
Shout out to all of the people, you know, our thoughts are, and prayers, of course, are with you.
Yeah.
And I meant to say shout out to Denise Salcido, who you mentioned, support women's wrestling journalists and women's journalists in general.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have her on at some point. Who knows?
Oh my God. Would you stop?
I also want
to like, who? Who's requesting?
There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people on the list. The Coral from The Real World New York. We're still waiting for your reply.
So Full Gear was this past weekend. You know, we wanted to give a full coverage, but honestly, guys, it's Friday. We are trying to get this out because we are on the road to Survivor Series. We will literally be in person, literally on the road.
Not Survivor Series. And I'm just going to comment. Yes, Mari did say support independent wrestling.
Yes,
we do. We're with you on that. We're with you on that. We just happen to be going to Survivor Series, which is not independent wrestling.
Yes. We did
and
not,
we did not plan on the timing of it
minutes.
Either.
Yeah, our we just faves, spent 20 minutes ragging on WWE and we're actually going.
Well,
yeah,
it's like 30, probably like 30 of our faves when we planned on going. 30 of our faves were probably still on the roster and now they're gone. So a lot of changes. But you know what? We'll be there.
And if you see us, if you guys are there, and you see us, come say hi. Come shout us out. We'll put you on RHAP Grams. We'll see.
Yeah, if you see us, let me just reiterate. If you see us and you recognize us, which I would assume what happens when you see when us, is that if you're like, that's Matt and Mari, like there's a 6'7" strapping black black legend, and there is like this shorter but still very tall 6-foot Amazonian powerful strong a future Divas Women's Champion, all of the belts, Mari, come up to us because it's us and say something. Well, look, I'm not 6'7".
That's
but
true.
Who cares?
Just come say hi. Come say hi. Yeah. We will be there. But yeah, so we're trying to get in and get out, yo. We you know, we're trying to get in and get out. So, but I do have to say, Hangman Page is the AEW World Champion. I am so excited.
Shocker.
I mean, sometimes it the best told story is the most logical one. You don't
Swerve. I'm with you. You're not trying to like you're not trying to stress your fans out. Like I think that we as wrestling fans, like it's I feel like a lot of what we've been conditioned to get with wrestling, but especially with WWE, is just like just stress us out, beat us up, beat us down, like that kind of relationship with them. But like, this is the story that was being told. So many people, especially looking at social media, the reaction after the fact, so many people were like emotional about the win. And I even saw the media, a couple of media scrum interviews after, but one of them was Hangman Adam Page talking about the win and like, I don't know, I'm kind of tearing up at least a little bit. You know, it was an emotional moment. And so I like that they're giving us this story. I will say beforehand, like on paper, I had my own predictions, even though we didn't do predictions. And like for the most part for the show, there's some stuff that you know, went the other way. But a lot of it was like, okay, this is what we figured, you know, Inner Circle exactly. winning, CM Punk winning, Britt Baker winning, you know, some more of that kind of stuff happening. But it, that was, it's, you gotta love when they give you what you want, right? Isn't that cool when a wrestling company gives you what you
gives want? Gives you what you want. I know, right?
Yeah. And then, and then they could like, they could swerve you and hurt your feelings later, but. It's nice to feel like a secure relationship with them.
And I just want to shout out Marcus in Puya's Discord, the Less Than Two Crew Discord, for no reason at all. Just shout out to him. And if you're not a part of the Less Than Two Crew on Twitch, you need to go join the Less Than Two Crew, which is Puya Zambakili's Twitch stream. Go to twitch.tv/Puya. But other than that, it was so great. No reason in particular.
Join that. I just did a big wink, by the way, if anyone was wondering in the audio.
So it was great. We were watching with people, and like my favorite match other than the Hangman Omega match was Daniel Bryan and Miro legit did that shit. So Bryan won. So I was wondering if that was going to affect the outcome of the World Championship match, since that was the number one contenders match. But Daniel Bryan versus Hangman Page, man.
I wasn't expecting it. But the cool thing is we've gotten Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega. And so, like, we've seen that match happen on Dynamite normally. Dynamite. Now there are so many shows that I'm like, was it Rampage? Was it Dynamite? Was it, like, a different show? But, I think, like, it's cool that we're getting that. That was the one I wasn't expecting, though, just because, like, face versus face. But Mari, if there's a face versus face feud that you should pay attention to, like, it's probably this one right now in wrestling. Cause like, I don't know how often AEW does face versus face. And like in the case of CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, we saw how that went, where like Punk definitely became the heel in the situation. But I do wonder if they could actually, I just want good face versus face storytelling. And I know it's possible. Like unfathomable.
And this coming up,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I do believe that we'll see it, because I know that they'll do better. They'll do better than what we normally look at when we're saying face versus face. Yeah,
I will also say the Super Click versus Christian and Jurassic Express was really like that one. Like sometimes I was kind of like drifting off during some of the matches, not going to sleep. But you know, I look at my phone a lot. But like that one and Daniel Bryan, and then of course the main event, like. That was pretty good. They were just battling all up and down the like the arena, jumping off the tallest stuff. Like that one was really crazy. I do like when they do stuff like that. So
AEW, really good
card. Solid card, top to bottom.
Yeah. You know what though? Like let us know too if anything stood out to you about this show, if there's anything you'd shout out. The one thing that comes to mind for me, by the way, that I didn't mention as we were talking about Paige. There are so many different, like there's Ethan Page, Adam Page, Page. Oh my God. Give me Page. Just have her show up. You could give her all of the championships. Actually. Give her the championships. I'm just impressed by her neck. It's a neck thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you come back from a death defying,
what was the one thing you wanted to say?
Oh, I hate you, Mari. You're the worst. Kenny Omega and his injuries. That's the big story that's kind of circulating now about how beat up he is. Speaking of injuries and the Page, I hope he's in good shape, but it sounded like there was a shoulder issue. Like people always work hurt, but Kenny Omega's been working so much that is that he's like been or slash being evaluated, and like they'll figure out if he'll need time off. I don't care if he needs time off. They should give him time off. Like, that should be a thing in wrestling, that just for people's health, especially for someone like him, though, who's such a truly one of a kind talent. Hopefully he's able to get the rest that he needs. Maybe Don Callis could fill in and work a few matches and take his spot. Who knows? I would like to see a few more like 60 plus year olds working. Wouldn't you, Mari?
Oh, no, thank you. Mm-mm.
Well, okay. My first really bad take of the podcast today, but not the last one. He's only 58, by the way. He's not 60 yet, Don Callis.
All right.
Good to know.
Well, yeah, good to know.
Is it, though?
That's it about Full Gear. Sound off. Let us know what you thought about the show.
Yeah.
We're always so keen to hear from you guys. I'm actually looking. I'm trying to make sure, see if we have any emails or anything. So
yeah, we love those. We love those reviews that we get when people get back to us. We love those emails that we get. We love those Job Has a Squadcast, JHAS for short, as I just decided to call it. Comments, yes. We love the tweets. We love the hashtag stuff. We love all of it. And Mari, you know, you always remind me, because I'm forgetful. I always forget where people could find the podcast, where people could comment, where people could hit us up to let us know their thoughts. But like, what do they do, Mari, if people want to talk to us and actually hear our sensual voices responding to their sensual voices, but in writing?
But in writing. Yeah. All right. Well, gracefully, you can always email us, send an email to wrestling@raphaswebsite.com. Or you can use hashtag wrestling rehap up on Twitter and tag us at wrestling rehap up again on Twitter. And of course, hopefully you are looking at our beautiful, lovely faces here on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube, where you can also leave comments there. And of course, if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast feed, what are you doing here? Go subscribe. Yeah. Well, subscribe. No, at the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast feed.
Don't leave.
Please rate, review, subscribe. We love hearing from you. You know, we love some feedback. We love to, what?
Mari, rate, review what?
And subscribe.
Rate, review, and what?
Subscribe.
Rate, review. We need a song for this, actually. I feel like we need a soundboard too.
Rate, review,
subscribe. We'll
be the only two people at Survivor Series. Rate,
review. I mean, honestly, just like that. Maybe just like rate, review, subscribe. No, this is actually embarrassing, because the thing is, we opened the floodgates to the rate, review, subscribe thing. By the way, if you're listening, rate, review, and subscribe. But we opened the floodgate. We're going to work on the song, and in the future, you'll hear the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. there's so many people who just turned off this podcast.
I know. They're like, and we're done.
Yep.
And of course, we can always plug the Patreon here too. Might as well. You can find us on the RHAP Patreon. You can go to www.patreon.com/RHAP, where you can get access to exclusive monthly podcasts, Q&As, and Patreon like events. So you'll more often than not find us there chopping it up. There's also a Discord and a Facebook group. Love the Facebook group. Join today, sign up so you can get access to all of that exclusive content.
Yes, that patron life. It's really good. And there are all the shows. It's not just wrestling, you know.
Yeah, it's not just us.
There are the Survivor, people talking about Survivor 41, Big Brother, when that's on. Even when it's not on, there's an interview with Asa, who was on the season, like literally posted last week. So there's so much different content. Check it out. You could be our friends by being patrons. Sure. Some people say that friendship doesn't cost, love doesn't cost a thing, but you know, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so let's get into this Survivor Series preview.
Okay.
Okay, first up, we'll talk about the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, versus the WWE Champion, Big E. So, okay, I'm of two minds of the build for this, because it feels, I don't know how the build to this kind of feels like, lazy and thrown together, but also that it makes a lot of sense. Like, it feels like two things, because WWE did a really good job. They posted a WWE playlist, and you can find all of the highlights and this, including this playlist, on our Handy Danley, our playlist. That was kind of confusing, wasn't it?
Wait, yeah.
We have a playlist that has all of our highlights on it. Is the WWE playlist of Roman Reigns versus Big E.
They
did the Road to Survivor Series WWE playlist, Roman Reigns versus Big E. It is now on our playlist. But anyways, in that playlist, they did a great job of like plotting Roman versus Big E. And they made it seem like it went all the way back to, you know, Survivor Series and, not Survivor Series. What? SummerSlam. These S's are killing me.
But you know what? Actually, no. When you said that, it made me go, because I watched that, of course, and I went back in my head. I'm like, wait, does this go back even further?
Yeah.
Which, exactly. I mean, it very well might, but I don't think
it kind of does.
Does it go back? Like, where did they?
It goes back to Big E winning Money in the Bank, because you remember Big E was on SmackDown and he won Money in the Bank, and he spent weeks taunting Roman, because we all thought that Big E was going to be the one to topple Roman. And then we were speculating on, did they have to change the plans somewhere? Because Big E took it off of Lashley. But even then, remember, like it's in that playlist, Big E kind of came in and crashed SmackDown the night after when Roman was looking for Brock. Big E came out and crashed that. And then when the New Day had a celebration, the Usos and Roman crashed that. You know, it was that weird time between that brand split was always, it was just so weird.
So yeah, no, I'm with you. That was, I remember that. I just wonder here, you know what I think is going through my head? It's that, like, okay, here's the problem. We've seen the New Day and the Usos kind of have their little trysts along the way over the years. And it, but it doesn't, they're not connecting it really back to this feud. Like, this feud, and we've seen it this week, and our clips actually in the playlist that Mari so thoroughly referenced and explained a few minutes ago. The clips overlap. So, like, there's the feud between obviously Roman and Big E, but then there's also the stuff happening on SmackDown with the New Day and the Usos, but also Roman, but they're not even like bringing Big E into that, because over on the other side, we have Big E getting beaten up by the Usos, and but then RK-Bro is involved because there's that Survivor Series match, and it just feels very, very sloppy.
It feels like sloppy is a good word for it, but it also feels like they're kind of just tripping and falling into just the great chemistry that New Day, the Usos, and Roman all have. Like, they're just kind of really lucking up here. And I think the build that they maybe initially were going with the Big E and Roman stuff is just kind of paying off. And, of course, Roman and the Usos working over the New Day, working Kofi and Xavier, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense because of their whole the King thing and all of that. But now that they've taken those two out, Big E needed backup, and now that he RK-Bro was his backup. Like that, right. I really feel like it feels like they're tripping and stumbling into logical storytelling when they didn't mean to.
No, like, there's no logic though, because like this past week on Raw, what just happened? So Big E out in the ring, you know, he interacts with Kevin Owens because they're keeping that feud going. So Kevin Owens walks to the back. Big E kind of goes after him, like, I'm going to get him. And the Usos jump in. They end up back in the ring.
Roman sends his regards. So I love all of these Game of Thrones references in my wrestling. I'm sorry, keep going.
Sure. And what I will say is that, Mari, this is a wrestling podcast. We can't talk about anything but wrestling. How dare you?
F that.
Yeah. But yeah, so like then Matt Riddle. So okay, Biggie is getting assaulted.
Yeah,
in the ring, and nobody comes out to help him. And this is the thing that bothers me: is that we used to see every single year for Survivor Series, if SmackDown invades, the Raw locker room empties out, or people empty out, and they'll even be wearing their shirts. Like, no, this is our brand. We're defending it. That's our champion. We're going to come out and protect him. The only person we got coming out was, for whatever reason, Matt Riddle. And
well, we know what the reason was.
Just so they could set up a tag team match. Because for some reason, I guess Randy Orton was like busy and also couldn't come out at the same time. They had to wait to do that later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except the other the six-man tag match. So I just kind of felt like it made no logical sense. Mm-hmm. But
no,
I did try to defend them.
I mean, it makes sense now that we're here, because you know the New Day can't come out and beat and help Big E because the Usos beat them. So you might as well and RK-Bro might as well come out and help them, because those will be their opponents on Sunday. Now I think what was in the clip that of Randy talking to Riddle,
something about the fact you're just telling him to like be better, basically. Yeah, which is most of what he says all the time.
So they were able to bridge the gap to like, okay, now we'll include RK-Bro, but it's annoying. But I do like the layers. I don't know. It's really interesting that Big E is getting like, he still has Seth to worry about, KO to worry about, like. And then on top of that, now he also has to face Roman. So to me, I'm like, okay, so are we setting it up so Big E loses to Roman because either KO or Seth come in and mess with him, you know, or red herring? So I don't know. I think we've explained these clips. They are very confusing. Riddle comes to save Big E, but then Seth Rollins comes out, so then it's Big E versus RK-Bro and the Usos.
I don't get why Randy Orton didn't come out sooner.
Yeah, or Seth Rollins just
came out. Anybody. Yeah. It's just,
like, Seth Rollins didn't need to come out here. Well, I mean, he did, because we needed to be a six-man, but there was no...
It made sense that he would come out eventually and stick his nose into it, but you know what? I will say that the other thing, when I think of Roman Reigns versus Big E, is I think of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which you have to mention, because there's a chance, probably not a great chance, but there's a chance that we will be, as we stand in the Barclays Center on Sunday, that we will hear, "If you smell," la, 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 and then we will... Mm-hmm. See him come out and things will happen and it'll be magical and everyone will be excited. There's a chance that could happen.
There is
even though like The Rock.
I want to stalk his Instagram. Where is he right now?
You should stalk it, because like what I understand is that The Rock has been talking about WWE a lot lately. I believe Roman might have been on they had a bunch of people on like the Jimmy Kimmel show or one of those shows. We're not paid to recap on Jimmy those.
Yeah.
So something happened. Who knows? But I understand that The Rock has come up a lot. His return to wrestling has come up a lot. He's even addressed it and kind of downplayed it. So I don't know. It's interesting that it's come up a lot. Like, why would WWE mention him so much if they're not already talking about plans. I'm not saying that he's going to debut or re-debut at Survivor Series, but I'm just saying it could happen. It's not the least likely time for it to happen.
Exactly. And I think you said, you saying that, why can I not find The Rock on Instagram? What is happening?
He's not. Yeah, he has a really small following, like 10 people or something. It's not even, yeah, no, I know. Follows him. Rock WWE.
I'm
No. Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
At The Rock. Mario.
All
look,
I'm seeing is.
Here's the thing,
this,
people.
This is a fan page.
No, like, you're probably on the fake look, Mari. At
yeah,
The
I'm
Rock.
A fake fan page.
No, The Rock is on Instagram at The Rock. He has 200.
I don't know if it's at
279 million followers.
This has to be great listening for our podcast.
They love.
Okay,
they love
okay it.
It
is. All right, yeah. It is. I'm actually surprised it's still just The Rock. I was putting in like Dwayne Johnson. I thought I would have been thought he would have like changed that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I love how his bot. You know what? This is my only problem with The Rock. His entire Instagram bio, other than like being a one of those Linktree links to a bunch of other things.
Oh, he went to McKinley.
It just says founder. His Instagram bio just says founder. I know he has a tequila company.
Oh yeah, he does.
I don't know what else he's
I can't
found.
Remember the name of the tequila company.
We'll get our hands
I
on
try.
It.
All right, we need to stop this. But
do we
okay.
Or we need to start
I
that.
I think this is a good segue into our predictions because I think this match in particular is going to be so shenanigan filled. Like, if there's not at least a shenanigan on a shenanigan on a shenanigan, I feel like I'm going to be disappointed. Like,
yeah, but I want shenanigans. I want The Rock. I want someone who looks like The Rock to show up in like a Rock costume and shenaniganify. Like,
I want all of the family.
I want all of the table. All of the table. To show up. It's
you want everybody. You want Solo to come up. Like you want the whole Sokoa, the whole Solo. Family tree.
I want them all there. This is Thanksgiving week. And if they're not gonna give us the family around the table, then I'm not gonna be thankful. So
like I want The Rock to be the cherry shenanigan on the shenanigan Sunday. Like I'm saying I want the Usos to come out and start beating up Big E. Then I want the New Day to come out and start beating up the Usos.
And I want Rikishi
KO
to come out.
Or Seth.
I want Rikishi to come out, dance with the New Day unexpectedly, then turn heel, stink face both of them. But then have Roman Reigns take out Rikishi because he's like, no, I'm the head of the table, Keish. And then I don't know who else.
Could you imagine?
Nia Dax returns.
What if Roman Reigns punched Rikishi in the face in front of his sons?
And but wait, no, watch this. Roman Reigns, Superman punched Rikishi.
Yeah.
Rikishi stumbles back into the corner, but you have Big E who's sitting in the corner, and so he gets an accidental stink face.
That's what
I want. Yep. And that's the finish of the match.
I want Seth and KO to come out at some point. And then I want The Rock to, like, when you think Roman's like, ha ha, shenanigans, I win again. The Rock comes out. Nope.
I want The Rock to come out. But by the time that he comes out, like, everyone just knocked out. And so he's like coming down. He's ready to lay it to SmackDown just to bring it. And he has his tequila in hand and he's ready to go. And the like, everyone's already late.
Everybody's
out,
just, he just walks out.
He's like a little bit too late. I want it. Let's get it.
My prediction is...
That's not your prediction?
No. Well, that I mean, but who wins?
That was mostly mine. Yeah. Oh, okay. That was, who actually wins. Yeah.
I think, again, I really think there's going to be heavy shenanigans because I think they do want to protect both Roman and Big E. So my thought process would be, I think Big E wins here. I hope Big E wins. Yeah. Due to The Rock, other shenanigans in The Rock. I think it would be okay for Roman to lose in this manner to Big E, and it would boost Big E better. But, like, you know, that's what I would want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What you would want and what I would want too. But
yeah, But I know
this is easily a situation where I could see you being like, Matt, you were right. And I'll be like, well, it's WWE. So yep. I think what I imagine happening is that, okay, let's just say whether or not they're Rock related shenanigans. If the Rock was part of this show, this would definitely happen. But if not, I could still see it happening where Roman wins and Roman takes mm-hmm. the win and he walks out. So I'm predicting Roman because I just feel like
shenanigans.
Oh, lots of shenanigans. But of course, but I just still think that he'll get the win because there's Big E who's kind of on the rise up and there's Roman who's so established that I don't think it makes Big E look bad if he loses to Roman. I also mm-hmm. don't think it would make Roman look bad if he lost to Big E. And I'm with you where I would prefer that. But mm-hmm. I just think that WWE this month they've been making bad decisions. So why should that stop today?
I'm going to keep my official prediction as Big E, but I can definitely see Roman winning this. I mean, that is kind of the main complaint, like some people have had with his reign. They're like, who am I supposed to believe will beat him? Which I think in this case could be a good way to give him a loss without losing the championship, without it seeming like a step down because he's going up against another champion with as many shenanigans as possible. So I think if he's going to lose, this would be the most protected loss that Roman could take. And then he can continue to dominate until whenever he drops that at WrestleMania or something like that.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. The other thing I would just say too is the only thing is I can't see Big E standing tall at the end of this pay per view, like closing the show. I don't think
anybody's standing tall. If it's anybody standing tall, it will probably be The Rock, and everybody else is laid out. Like.
But I also can't see a world where Big E wins and then like The Rock or someone like, I don't know. I just don't see it for Big E, but I would like to see it for Big E. I just don't feel it.
I think again, we get shenanigans. I think The Rock comes out. Big E just rolls to the side of the mat. Just like
what percent chance is it? So maybe like there isn't a winner of this match. Technically, maybe just a no contest at the end of the day. But do you think we're going to get, I should say, what percent chance do you think we have of The Rock showing up here?
50-50. It's legit 50-50 to me.
Yeah.
Same. They are saying a lot of the whole, like, he's not coming, he's not coming, he's not coming. So, like, I mean, if they are going to keep one of the biggest stars in Hollywood coming to their pay-per-view as a secret, that means they have something storyline-wise huge for him. Because other than that, his name would be plastered on everything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, or they could find a way to, like, you know, it's like the Royal Rumble or something else where he could show up where there will already be a lot of eyeballs on the show. I don't see. I believe them. I'll take their word for it. I'll say like 49% that he'd show up and 51% that he won't. But
he won't. Yeah.
Who knows? Fine.
Yeah.
Who knows? We don't know.
So let's move on to the SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair versus the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch. Charlotte Flair. They are really trying. Like, they are like, WWE is stepping on the gas for this match. Again, I don't care. It's okay. I'm going to watch the match. I'm going to be reasonably excited when it comes on. I like the two women. Just because I say this, guys, doesn't mean I don't like the two women. The only thing I'm just saying is now I think it's overworked because, you know, we talked about last week. I was like, you know, that whole championship title thing, it was a shoot. Now they have overworked it. It is now an overworked shoot. And I don't know where we're going from here because they had clips of interview. Charlotte did an interview where she was basically like, you know, people hate me because I'm a bad bitch. You know, I've had the most titles, you know, But and because of I'm a woman, if they, you know, they don't give John Cena that much flack. Or I heard she
don't bring up John Cena
and Roman, and I'm like, girl, you must not be on the internet because everybody be giving them flack for everything.
Yeah, do you remember John Cena being booed for most of his career?
Yeah,
as a face. Come on,
exactly. So yeah, it's just like it was just, you know, they're really stoking. They're trying to make us feel that the animosity between them is real, which is why I'm like, okay, this is clearly a work. We have Becky, like somebody, they had a shot where somebody asked Becky, like, oh, how do you feel about Charlotte Flair or something like that? And Becky said, she's a bitch. Like straight up said, Charlotte's a bitch. Cool, like on the TV. Yeah.
That's the moment I knew. I watched that interview.
Yeah.
Actually, there have been a few that Becky's been doing.
There's been a lot interviews.
Lot, actually. And, you know, I don't, here's the thing. I don't believe it. I do believe that they have, maybe they're not the closest that they've been. I get that. That makes sense.
We've talked about
that. The segment going off the rails also makes sense because they've edited the hell out of that to take out all the things that definitely were off script, like Charlotte talking over Sonya, Charlotte dropping the championship. That's wiped from the record as far as we're concerned. So that didn't go well, but they definitely want to capitalize on it.
Yeah, they
and,
do, yeah.
You know, the other thing I'll point out is, and this is just too far, like this, they didn't need to work this hard to convince us that it's real. Like Becky talking about Ric Flair being trash.
Yes. My God.
It's like, girl, we know that you don't have a problem with Ric Flair. Like, I'm pretty sure you probably said amazing things about working with him before.
Yeah. And did you see what Ric Flair said about her on Twitter?
What did he say?
Oh my God. Ric Flair was like, called her ungrateful, said he had given up the trade. He had sold the trademark of the man back to WWE so she could use it and all this stuff. And I was just like, y'all, like,
I'm exhausted. Just stop trying so hard.
That's what it is. And that's what it feels like. And that's the only reason why, like I said, I'm just not as into this fight, is because, like, you're forcing it. You're trying to force it, you know. And you know, I think it's gonna be Becky and Charlotte do good fights. I'll be surprised. I'm kind of surprised that they don't put a stipulation on this, because to me, the only times that I've been really interested in a Becky Charlotte match is when there's a stipulation. Like, I do not care for their pure one-on-one matches. And I was at Survivor Series in 2018 when, you know, Becky, it was supposed to be Becky versus
what's her name,
Ronda. Yeah, but then Charlotte, it had to be Charlotte versus Ronda. And I will tell you live that that match was trash. Like, the beginning, like, most of that match was trash.
Not a good match. The
crowd was dead. The crowd was dead. It was like they did not have any real chemistry at that point. And people only got invested in it once the weapons came out.
Well, like they didn't. And stuff. They didn't have time to practice, and I mean that's the thing. Like, I actually really loved Ronda's run in WWE because I felt like they did what they should always do with everything, which is practice the hell out of it so that it actually comes off really well. Like Ronda,
right?
If you were just a casual fan watching, you're like, wow, Ronda. I'm sure if we search Twitter, Ronda Rousey, greatest pro wrestler ever, is probably tweeted by like thousands and thousands and thousands of people because they practiced. But that match was just off for obvious reasons. Didn't have time to prepare because they didn't know that Becky would be out with, I think, I know there was the bloody nose and broken nose, but like
concussion.
Orbital.
No. Yeah, no. You're right. It was a concussion and a broken nose. It was concussion and broken nose. Yeah.
Look at Becky going over the top, really to just sell for Nia Jax. Oh, aren't by Nia? Another person is gone. Yep. Now.
Yeah. So, So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I'll be there. I have low expectations, so that's good for them. It'll probably it might be match of the night. People are saying it's the main event.
I have high expectations. It depends what we want. But when I say I have high expectations, I have high expectations that they're going to work a very intense, aggressive match. Mm-hmm. It might come off as kind of sloppy and shoot-ish. That's the thing that I think will probably throw me off watching this match.
Right.
Is that it's like, okay, we know that, like, you don't hate each other. Like, just work a match. Like, work a really good match. Like, it doesn't need to be a fist fight. Is what I think.
Exactly.
I could just picture how they'll start the match out. Like, and I hope that they don't do it where it's like ring the bell and then they go at each other swinging and swinging and swinging and end up on the outside and just keep hitting each other until like the kendo sticks and other things come out. But
I think that, yeah. And that's another thing. Like, Becky is one of the greatest technical women wrestlers, you know, especially in WWE. Like, mm-hmm. That's why I like her matches. That's why I definitely liked her matches with Bianca and Sasha, yeah. Of course. Whew, Jesus, her and Sasha. It's just like, it's so good. And she's so technical. And I love best when people are trying to escape her technical style or it's counter. Like, I love a good Becky match where literally it's her and the other person just countering each other the whole time. That's what I think of when I think of Becky Lynch matches. And her and Charlotte just don't do that, because Charlotte is not she's more of a ground and pound. She's a powerhouse. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's just not the same. It's not the same technical wise. So, and then on top of that, if this work shooty, they hate each other so much, then getting into our predictions, who's going to want to lose this? Who's going to want to get pinned? This is why I want to see the end of this match, because right now, because of all of the backstage stuff, because of what we saw with Bianca and what's going on with Sasha, and how, like, it just feels like they came back and they just kind of, you know, we've always had this thought process of, you know, more Charlotte, but we're now seeing it with Becky. It just seems like they are unwilling to do the job. This is just perception. This is not reality, people, but this is what it's been slowly looking like. And I've been talking about it for weeks now. So if you have two champions that aren't willing to do the job for regular people, how are they going to do the job for either of them? And what does that look like? And you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, what does it look like going forward? You know, because Charlotte jokes about it in her promos. It has to be a joke, because I know she doesn't truly believe it, like, that she's the star maker. But historically, she has not been a star maker. Becky, I don't know. Like, yeah, like, it Here's didn't what, work with Lacey Evans. Like, Becky couldn't make Lacey Evans. So, okay, go, Matt, because I'm done. Like, I just
froze for a second.
I'm trying not
Lacey
to.
Lacey Evans, because I'm like, yeah, I vaguely remember that they did something.
What do you mean you vaguely remember? They feuded for 4 months and nothing
Becky
came of it.
And Lacey?
So Becky and Lacey feuded for 4 months.
When did this happen?
From the time she got the title until Clash of the Champions. Her and Lacey fought all summer.
I blocked that out because
exactly
it wasn't good. Just like I'm gonna block out I wish I could block out the Charlotte Lacey stuff, but that's a whole other story. This is my thing. Like, and you brought up this point, which I think is amazing. This is actually the one match where I don't have a prediction, because to me, it doesn't make sense for either one of them to pin the other from a lot of perspectives. Like, right. I think what WWE should do here somehow is make sure that, I think the best choice is to be sure that there's not a winner, that this is some kind of no contest test or some kind of scrub finish, because the moment that, and you alluded to this, the moment that Becky gets pinned by Charlotte and is down for the 1-2-3, or the moment that Charlotte, is pinned down for the 1-2-3, it's like, okay, that's a work, right? I mean, I could see a world where they go for like some kind of really corny screw job finish, which I hope they don't do, but I don't know how they'll get out of this. And I also, I honestly don't know if I the more that we get closer to it, the less I care, to be honest.
Exactly. And I think this would have been a good match to have a time limit on and just let them wrestle to the time limit.
Yeah.
But so,
by the way, great thing. I'll just say, like, that's one thing about AEW that they do a lot is really they just good. Like build in some of these real rules like time limits and they care about wins and losses where they have like the ranking system, which I always forget about, but actually is consequential. And,
not even the ranking system, but once the ranked opponent is set for a match, they then do another tournament to determine the next number one contender, which
exactly
just makes so much sense. We're about to go on a tangent here.
No, but it's a good tangent because it makes everything make so much more sense. It makes it so much more believable. It's not
exactly
like we basically never talk. I can't think of one time that we've talked about AEW's writers and their decisions because a lot of it, I mean, yes, of course there's writing and like all of that stuff and it's a whole different company from WWE, but like the logic is there and it doesn't leave you again like feeling like your intelligence is being insulted, which again, this is another situation where it kind of feels like if they just went into the match without all the interviews, I mean, it would have been smart in my mind, for instance, if they said to all of the interviewers, you can't ask Becky or Charlotte about each other. Like, you can't say anything about them. You can't ask any questions about them. Like, somehow, if they were just like, don't bring up the drama, that would have made it even more intense. Real.
That is so true. You're right.
Like, why are we writing? We're right about so many, like any, it's not rocket science.
If it was like, hey, Becky, what do you think about Charlotte? Next question.
She's like, I can't. Or no, like someone like, off camera is like, pops in like, no, sorry, go next question. Don't, no, sorry. Like that would be it. That's what we want. Come on, give us the fire. We need to start our own wrestling promotion.
I know. Can we get Becky and hire all of those people who got fired? We'll
get Becky in there too, and we'll just rebook Becky and Charlotte. We'll rebook the storyline. Awesome.
So, we said all that's to say. I think it's going to end in a no contest or something. I think.
Me too.
If I had to like literally write it. I think it ends in no contest. I think it ends in a no contest with like, this is how I would do it. I would have Becky, it'd be like a callback to the Ronda match. Have Becky hit her with the kendo stick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be a cute callback to the match. Now, do I think Becky would need to resort to that? No. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. But I think it would be like, oh, I got you before you could get me type of situation.
But could you imagine if Brooklyn really, really, really mattered to WWE as much as it should? Like, because when I think of Brooklyn, I think of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I think of Bayley and Sasha and their iconic matches in NXT. And it would be nice to see the other two horsewomen have an iconic match if they could level.
They had it at Evolution. That people love that Evolution match.
That was in Long Island. That wasn't in Barclays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so you're just saying specifically for Brooklyn.
It's specifically in Brooklyn.
But this is why... God, again, I don't even want to get into this.
Lay down on the wrestling wrap-up couch and we'll talk about it. I'll put on my...
You mean die on this hill, you mean. But I will die on this hill. The reason why I will always think that Sasha versus Bayley is the greatest women's match ever until like something else comes along is because they did what they did without it needing a stipulation. Like Becky and Charlotte at Evolution, the last woman standing match, got the same rating, the same Dave Meltzer rating, as the Sasha and Bayley's Brooklyn match. But I just don't respect it as much because Bayley and Sasha told a story within the ring using their bodies, using the last many months of story build, using Izzy. You know what I'm saying? And I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I just respect when you can make a match out of something more than like just relying on the crutch that is a disqualification match or a street fight or whatever.
Literally, they had a crutch. Didn't they have a crutch at some point in that match? They did.
Well, they...
I don't know. Was there a knee brace, an arm brace, something?
It was
they
something,
were so good.
Yeah.
They were
yeah,
so
it
good. Was. It was you like have a, to love it. Love that.
I need to rewatch that.
If I had to book the finish of this, I am totally in agreement of a no contest. Again, because I don't have a prediction for this one on the piece of paper. I think that that we're going to see three masked figures come out from the crowd. And they're going to be dressed a lot like the Shield, except like with black ski masks. And they're going to tear them off. And it's going to be Sasha Banks, who's in there, tearing up the ring, beating them down. It's going to be Bayley with the other ski mask. And Izzy's going to be in the third ski mask.
Stop it.
And everyone's going to be really mad that she's wrestling. But she's going to hit like a shooting star press to end the segment. And that's my prediction.
Now you're just being ridiculous.
I've been right before.
Okay. Next up, we have Team Raw. This is the men's. Men's Team Raw, which is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Austin Theory now, Bobby Lashley versus Team SmackDown, Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods, Jeff Hardy, Happy Corbin, and somebody to be announced. So
yes, a blue, it looks like an invisible man right now.
Right.
In the little graphic that they have here. This is last week, by the way. I talked about last week with the different teams, and I think this was mostly in reference to the women's team and the changes that were happening there. But like, we got a team over the weekend on Twitter, and then it changed again. And I think maybe the team, it's changed again, I think, since then. But I don't even know
for the
anymore.
Women or for
honestly for guys? All of these for all of these them. Teams.
Yeah.
But this one changed because at one point we were going with the storyline that the Raw team needed to have all these former world champions.
Yes.
This past week we had that match that took place between
Bobby Lashley
and Rey Mysterio. For whatever reason, Lashley taps out Ray to the Hurt Lock, and then out of nowhere, Adam Pearce, who was so concerned about having world champions in the match, decides that Ray isn't. What does he? Does Adam Pearce have a problem with the Mysterios? Is my question.
Right, like
it's very like giving me Naomi Sonya energy here for no reason at all.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. So Bobby, of course, Rey Mysterio wanted to kind of avenge Dominic, but he found himself in the Hurt Lock. Adam Pearce is like, oh, you know, you're hurt, so let's get him out of here. Then Austin Theory comes and beats up Dominic, and he's like, oh yeah, that's the fire I want to see. Yeah. Let's add Austin Theory to the team. Negro, I thought Austin Theory is not a champion. I mean, I'm so annoyed. Like, I'm just so annoyed. Why do it like this? Just give us matches for you to get on the team. Like, something. Well, I don't know.
Like, logically, just to put the logistics holes into it, you don't need to. Why is Adam Pearce supposed to be the heel here? Like,
right. What is going on with Adam Pearce?
Are you trying to get him over as a heel or build up his heel? This is so... I feel like growing up... I'm so frustrated right now.
Okay.
Growing up with wrestling, I remember all the times where as a super fan, I would listen to all the shoot interviews, read the dirt sheets, watch all the shows. And the thing that people would always say is like, fans could book it from the couch. Jim Cornette, his big thing is like, if you go to Subway, you're not going to tell them how to make a sandwich. They know how to make a sandwich better than you. I don't know what the hell his obsession with Subway sandwiches was. My point being, the philosophy was always the fans don't know best. The wrestlers know better. You are not the professional, so you don't have the best takes. We ask tons of fans.
I got that.
Tons of fans have the best takes on what to do, and it's frustrating because this makes no sense.
I get what he's saying, but that analogy doesn't make sense because you literally go to Subway and can tell them how to make your sandwich. I'm confused.
I don't know. Maybe it was like a sponsorship or something. Maybe it was an ad. She's like, you can't make sandwiches as good as they do at Subway.
Does he mean physically making the sandwich? Like putting the meat on the bread? Because
use other coupon, than that. Use my coupon for 10% off of your next $5. Okay. Who cares?
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
So that's the raw men side. So the raw men side, like Bobby Lashley none taking two people off the team by himself.
And we saw Kevin Owens and Finn Balor face off this week. Yeah. And there's, and like we know the drama between KO and Seth Rollins. So this is a very dysfunctional team.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And maybe a boring team based on the yeah. But to go on so the tired. SmackDown team, Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Xavier, and Mystery Invisible Man and Baron Corbin. This team seems more cohesive, seems like they could get along. They're all faces that, you know, yeah, I don't see anything Corbin. That's well, I mean, in my heart, he's a face.
Ew, what? Why? No, not happy Corbin. Sad Corbin was a face. Happy Corbin is not a face.
He's not. Well, and by the, it's the transitive property of when he was sad, we liked him more. And because of that time, I like, in my mind, he's a bumbling fool, but he's our bumbling fool. And that's what I like.
Yes.
What,
that's why maybe I it's just because I don't like. Line. I don't like Madcap Moss.
No, he's not fun. He's not fun.
Yeah. His dad jokes aren't even like, they're like horrible jokes, and they're not even funny horrible jokes.
He's not, yeah.
Like, yeah. They're yeah. not funny horrible jokes.
No.
And if the joke is for him to be telling horrible jokes, it's not funny.
No, it's not. But also, it's just, I mean, it's funny to me that they're not like, oh, just put him on the team, because he's there already.
And watch they do that. Watch they do that, and it's just going to be, I'm just going to be upset.
You mean we're not getting Batista here? Or who else?
I want to see, Mick Foley? We have the Raw men's roster.
Or in New York. Here. Who else? Listeners, tell us, who else from New York, what legends from New York would you love to see as the fifth person? They're going to give us something so anticlimactic, and I am not looking forward to it.
Exactly.
Like literally the star power in this match, no offense, Austin Theory, because I am kind of glad that he's in this spot, because it just gives him a chance to potentially shine, even though I don't see that happening. Like, they're going to give us, like, I don't even want to put out a name because I don't want to offend anybody who's a jobber, but they're going to give us someone who's kind of closer to jobber status than like a Rey Mysterio type.
So... on SmackDown, the men on SmackDown that we like know of, you know, minus Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, yeah. Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, no Swerve, no Top Dollar, no Ashanti. Wow. I'm looking at the draft. I, you know, we have our draft notes, and it's just like half these people are gone. Yeah. Nakamura, Rick Boogs, they'll be in busy. Action tonight. So maybe Sheamus, so Sheamus isn't really doing anything.
Sheamus had I don't know if Sheamus re-injured his nose.
Oh.
That sounds familiar, though.
Is that still not a work?
I don't know if that was a work or a shoot. This is how you work yourself into a shoot.
Yeah.
You don't know the truth. But so it could be him.
So maybe the Sheamus, so it looks like the viable options that aren't, if we're saying it might not be Madcap Moss, is Sheamus, Cesaro,
yeah,
Mustafa,
sure. What's Sami Zayn doing?
Mansoor. Sami Zayn
was kicked off the team.
Yes.
like literally still have the spot open, and somehow they took him off of the team.
Right.
Huh.
Mace.
Interesting.
Maybe Jinder or Shanky. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, put Shanky in. Man, you know what's so sad? I was on Twitter the other day, and I think it was Shanky. I looked at Shanky's Twitter, and I was like, damn, you have like 3,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Yeah, I just am always so fascinated. Whatever.
All right. So predictions are, I mean, Raw does seem to have like the main people, like, you know, that is their whole like upper mid card on that team.
What's your prediction?
This is hard.
I'll give you mine first.
Okay. Yeah. You go. Yeah.
My prediction is that Team SmackDown will win here because when I look at this, I see, let me just pull up our fancy graphic. So I see drama between Seth Rollins. I mean, Seth Rollins as the captain is kind of a tell. Like, he's not a team. He's not the most cohesive captain slash coach slash whatever, but like, I don't see him gelling really with anyone on his team particularly well, especially with KO. So I see that imploding there. You know, who knows what Lashley is going to do other than what he wants to do. So I don't see that working out. Finn, I feel so sorry for, but because he was so hot like 2 months ago and completely cooled off, but we just saw him take that loss to Kevin Owens. Yeah. So maybe that there's some tension there. So that team sounds chaotic to me. On the other end, I'm with you in terms of the star power, but like Drew, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods, Corbin, I could see them working together for the win. I don't see them self-destructing in any way because they haven't built up any indication that that team would self-destruct. And it is a pretty stacked team between Drew, Jeff Hardy, who, I mean, you know, we know his history and like how much of a star he is and can be. And then obviously Xavier Woods is on the rise. And I think maybe technically has been on a little bit of a winning streak, even if it's been through like DQs and other sketchy stuff. So I feel good about the SmackDown team.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Raw team. I think because they have so much built up and all that tension, and they're making Lashley look like a beast. I think they'll defeat the SmackDown team. I think at the very least, Drew might be the last man standing on his team before they do some heels. Because that's another thing. Raw is men's are completely heels, like you said, and SmackDown are completely good guys. So I could see the heels just doing heel things and winning. So I'm gonna go the men's team Raw on this.
I think, and I would add that I, you know, maybe rather than Drew being the last one standing on SmackDown, if it goes the way that you're saying, I think Xavier Woods, that would be a great spot to see Xavier Woods in. Just like the Iron Man. I don't know if it's the Iron Man. I guess that's a Royal Rumble term, but kind of functioning as the Iron Man in this match and just lasting and fighting until he can't anymore could be a good spot for him. So we'll see what they do with these
people. Oh my gosh. I've been looking at that graphic for so long and I just realized that was Jeff Hardy's hand in front of Xavier Woods. I was like, why is Xavier standing like that? Okay, whatever. But like, he's singing. I'm like, why is the team standing like this?
Oh my gosh.
That's so random. Why would you put Jeff's hand right there? That is so funny. And his hand looks
huge in that.
Yeah, it's like they like forced his hand in there. And it wasn't until I was like, wait, Xavier Woods does not have tattoos on his hand.
Zoom in really close. I mean, it looks pretty good, though. I'd rather see Xavier Woods' hand rather than...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so hopefully, you know, good go job. Watch our YouTube video to see what we are describing here. So, okay, Matt. Okay. All right. So next up, we have the women's traditional Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw is Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Zelina Vega versus Team SmackDown, which is Sasha Banks, Shotzi Blackheart, Shayna Baszler, Natalya, and Toni Storm, the recently announced Toni Storm. So we talked about it last week how Sonya Deville said that she removed Aaliyah from the team, and at first, we didn't know who was going to go on the team, but it was just randomly announced middle of the week that Toni Storm was added to the team. So
what were they thinking? Were they just I know maybe what they were thinking, and I don't agree with it, but like maybe they want people to actually pay attention to their social media because of news. This is not big news though. Mm-hmm. Like no one's going to follow because they're like, oh, Toni Storm was added. You'll just find out when you watch SmackDown.
Right.
And by the time that SmackDown's over, it'll probably change again and end up as Naomi on the team. So like,
I mean,
what? Right. I don't. This is so wild. Thank you for running through who's on the team. Mm-hmm. Are you, just in general, are you like excited to see any of these people competing at Survivor Series? How are you feeling about this match?
I actually am. I am actually excited about this match. This match made me realize how deep the SmackDown women's roster is. Like, I was actually kind of sad Aaliyah was taken off the team because I thought, you know, it could have been a good showing for her and she could be the first pinned. And then, like you said, Naomi's not even on here, but I'm glad Toni's on here. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a pretty stacked roster. The Raw women, on the other hand, no, I'm just playing.
No, you're not playing.
Like, I like the Raw women and all that too. I just think I'm going to be looking forward to a lot of, I think I'm going to be looking forward to a lot of matchups here. I would not be surprised if they pull like a swerve and like Bianca goes out fairly early. Yeah, because it's just kind of sucks because Bianca should have been the lone survivor last year, you know, when they messed around with her and they let Lana, you know, I think she had a great showing at Survivor Series last year in order for her to be the lone survivor. So I don't think they'll run it back again this year. I think it'll be something like scandalous that takes her out. No,
she better get kayfabe injured in this match and to be taken out that way. Like maybe she twists her ankle because I just need, or I don't know, or maybe on her way down to the ring, you know, she like slips or trips on her braid and then that's what takes her out because there's no world where I want her being pinned in this match.
Yeah.
We don't need that. She doesn't need that right now, especially. But she's like clearly the star. Like if you are looking at WWE, she's literally on like her left bicep and tricep and like the whole shoulder region, they're popping on this graphic because she's Bianca Belair and she's out front. Even Sasha right behind her. She's kind of in the shadows. She's in the shadow, literal shadows.
That's how you make a star.
That is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but like, don't get her pinned. This match is, in my mind, how I see this going, and I'll just throw out my prediction.
Please.
I think that Team SmackDown will win here, because if I break it down, look, they do have on Raw, they have Bianca, they have Liv. I don't know how Bianca's going to be taken out of this match. But I do see Liv potentially being the last one remaining because there is that whole dynamic here. with Becky where she's like, okay, I could do this. I'm good enough. And there was some specific line she said, actually, you know what? We kind of have like a dual storyline where Liv has kind of said has to prove to Becky that she's not underperforming, but also Toni Storm randomly last week had her whole thing with Charlotte about not being worthy of the shot. So she also has something to prove. I see a world though where Liv fights, she quote unquote underperforms even though she's in the match the longest, and Becky could clown her on that even though she'll have a strong losing performance. That's what I'm thinking. But wait, the thing I was saying more about these teams is that number one, there's the conflict and the tension. So we have Liv and Zelina, who are definitely a tag team now. Rhea and her partner, Nikki A.S.H., obviously don't gel with these two. We saw
Carmella and Zelina. You said Liv and Zelina. You mean Carmella and Zelina are a tag team.
That's exactly what I meant. Carmella and Zelina. Look, you know what it is. But even then, Carmella and Liv had that tension between them. There's just so much aggression between these women on these teams. But the thing that's weird to me is the fact that Nikki A.S.H. was not on the team. And like, I think that just leads to a less cohesive team, which sets them up to lose.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you're right. Like, you would automatically assume that your two women, like your tag team champions, would be on the
former women's champions.
Yeah, so if that's the case, technically Carmella shouldn't be in this match because
that's what I said.
Yeah, because you know you have to push your solo stars Bianca and Liv, and then you put the tag teamers on the team, and then you got to go with Queen Zelina, because if you don't put her on there, then what was the point of her winning that tournament? So
exactly. I mean, like, just to talk through, Dewdrop has her attitude issues currently. Dewdrop could take out Bianca.
That's how Bianca gets taken out.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. I could also see a world where actually that would make the most sense. And actually,
that could be it.
She could be taken out before the match. Or Sasha. Mm-hmm. These are all of the possibilities. Either any of the things we mentioned happen to Bianca, or Sasha somehow pins her. But no one else is going to be able to take out Bianca. Yeah. Without it looking kind of bad. So, and then on the flip side, I would say, I know I'm talking a lot, but I love these dynamics in this match. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Toni Storm has to prove something to Charlotte because apparently she's the next challenger. Shotzi just turned. So she's just on that hot streak. Natty's there. You know, Shayna, she's had her little rough streak. I miss the fact that she hasn't been like stomping on people's elbows. I don't know what happened to that.
But she did. She did last week. She stomped on Naomi last week in that 3-on-3.
Not on the steps.
Oh, no, though. Not on the steps, though. No,
I missed the step gimmick. And then Sasha. So I think that Team SmackDown kind of, I want them to take the win, maybe, because I kind of feel like they needed a little bit more.
Yeah, we're getting Sasha versus Shotzi tonight on SmackDown. So I can't wait for that. The last time that they were fighting was when it was Shotzi and Tegan. Sorry, Tegan, versus Sasha and Bayley. So, and they seem to have good chemistry there. So this is going to be good. So I agree. I think the SmackDown women's team takes it. I wouldn't mind if like some of the Raw girls come and like beat up the other Raw girls. Like, I think Zelina and Carmella are getting up out the paint of this match like really quickly. Like, I think they're going to be the first two falls or something to that effect.
Zelina and Carmella?
Zelina.
I don't know.
Yeah, Zelina and Carmella. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's what I
think it's gonna. I think it's gonna come down to Rhea, Bianca, and Liv. And I think Liv will be, like you said, the sole survivor for her team. But I could definitely see each one of these matches, these eliminator matches, have it where the other team has like three or four people on it, while the one team gets decimated.
Why do I feel like I just want to? I keep coming back to Bianca. I just want to see her get her ass kicked by Dewdrop, like royally, and just
in a good way. Yes.
Well, in a good way. In the in the sense that, like, obviously, that's the excuse for Bianca to not be. I just don't want to see Bianca get buried.
And pinned again.
Her getting. I agree. Like, there's no world where she should be pinned in less shenanigans. So let's hope that Dewdrop's in there, because just the whole storyline and her being a heel now is just, it has potential. We talked about this a little bit last week, so we'll kind of see where they take it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah,
I am very much excited because I do love all of these women. So this is going to be good.
Did you say your prediction for this one?
Yeah, I said Team SmackDown as well.
Okay, on the same page with that one.
Yeah.
Good. They did a good job. They'll do a good job. But yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch live because we're going to be there.
Yes, we will be live. Yeah. All right. And the last two that really have not cared at all, really. Let's do. So the Intercontinental Champion, Shinsuke Nakamura. With Rick Boogs in his corner. Versus U.S. Champion Damian Priest. Like, this one, there's no build, guys.
Where's Priest been?
No build. Yeah, where has Priest been? The only thing that can make me like super excited, like you what would make sense for this match would be for Bad Bunny to be in Damian Priest's corner. Bad Bunny, rapper, Damian Priest's corner, Rick Boogs on his guitar, Shinsuke Nakamura corner. That's what they should be building.
Or I like that. Mm-hmm. See, that's a good surprise. That would be a good twist here. It would also be kind of dumb because there was no build for the match, and also Nakamura is still a face, and it's kind of weird. You know what I thought you were going with, though, with that, which is just where my mind went for the first time, was what if Rick Boogs turns on Nakamura?
Oh my God.
And leaves
him
to join Damian Priest.
Well, he can't
because
do that.
Priest has like his whole rocker-ish thing.
But they're on different brands.
Boogs, who cares? Boogs could do whatever he wants.
I would legit cry if Rick Boogs.
I would be a little upset too, but like I'm just saying, I wouldn't be shocked because I know
because WWE loves doing that. They do love doing that. I hate that.
They do. They could fit together. They could fit together. I just don't think like. I like that Boogs has like his little ponytail, his little sweatband, his little. All of his, he's just so fun to watch. But yeah, I wonder what they're going to do here. I wonder what they're going to do.
Exactly.
But there's a difference between wondering what they're going to do and caring what they're going to do. I'm not there.
Yeah. Two separate things. I agree. I think that Bad Bunny thing would have been great, but there's no way you have Bad Bunny show up surprised. Again, you have to bill him so you get the eyes on it. Yeah. So.
If you're going to have him show up, like it's one thing to have him in the corner. But the thing is, he performs so well in the ring that I almost feel like it needs to like he come back and be in the corner. But it needs to eventually build to his in-ring return because he stunned everybody. I don't even know. Honestly, it would be a really horrible time for Bad Bunny to come back because they would be referencing the Miz Morrison match. Which just would be kind of awkward. One, because Miz isn't around, but for obvious reasons, because Morrison was released. So, we might not even hear Bad Bunny's name mentioned.
All right. Predictions on this, I think.
Priest.
Priest. I think so too. I think he needs it because they have not done anything with him. So he definitely needs the win.
Yep.
Nakamura
just got pinned last week by Los Lotharios, by Angel and Umberto. And
which
so
doesn't make sense.
No, that seems very unnecessary.
That doesn't even make sense. They're not even.
But they did. Okay. But we did our podcast last week.
Yeah.
And we recorded it on Saturday, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So that means that this happened. They didn't announce this match. This match wasn't announced. So maybe they didn't even know that they were going to be doing this match when they had Nakamura take the pin. Because to me, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
Nobody knows.
Damian Priest. And then finally, the Raw Tag Champions RK-Bro versus the SmackDown Tag Champions the Usos. Again, a story that we at least this got build. We had no build for the previous storyline, so at least this got a week's worth, a day's worth of build. So Usos, I think you go Usos because we got that little exclusive of Randy Orton try to. Give Matt a pep talk or something. I don't know what that really was. So I think Matt Riddle takes the pin here.
Sure. And maybe there's some. Yeah.
Like some like
tension,
no cohesion. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe the seeds of that.
Yeah.
The other thing though that I thought of with this is that, you know, the problem with the bloodline right now. Is that anytime the Usos lose, it's a story. Like, it needs to be... Like, if the Usos lose here, then Roman's in a position where he has to probably have a promo where he's like, you you lost, you disappointed. Oh, and to me, that's just so old. Like, are they going to keep going back to that? Well, every single time that the Usos lose, because that's what they've been doing. So in my mind, it kind of paints WWE into a corner where, because you need Roman to care. Unless Roman loses too, like maybe that's the world where he's like, I don't care about the fact that you lost, I lost. But otherwise, I just feel like the Usos can't lose unless they're going to end up making a big deal out of it, or Roman's going to end up calling it out. So I would say that the Usos win here. Why not?
Same.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, RK Bro, I feel like they have to be building towards the destruction, right? Well, like, I don't know. I don't care.
They just came together too, right? I mean, three months ago, four months ago.
It feels like it's been forever ago.
About that time in the WWE life cycle where they
They're
like, oh, okay, the season's changed. It went from July, where it was like 90 degrees, to now being 40. And that means when WWE sees that weather change, they're like, okay, we're going to break up some tag teams.
That's so funny.
It's so probably true. So
you so we both got the Usos on
the
that.
Jimmy Uso. So we only really, like, in our predictions disagreed on potentially, like, the Roman Reigns Big E match.
Yeah.
And then on, we agreed on Becky and Charlotte. We agreed with this Usos match. I think we both agreed that Team Smack. Did we agree that Team Smack? No, we disagreed on that. You think
we disagreed
that
Team on the
Raw men will win?
Yeah,
I think that the SmackDown. But we agree on everything.
The women. Else. Yeah.
So we'll see if anyone's keeping score because we sure don't.
Yeah, I know.
Let us know who's more right after the fact or not. You know, we'll be together. We'll probably know anyways. You don't need to let us know. But anything, I don't know what else, like, is that, is I mean, that's so
that's
magical.
It.
We did it. Look at that.
We want to do this as quick in and out,
lean,
out.
Just a lean, mean, and
fighting machines. Yeah. So,
I was gonna say green. No, sorry.
So, again, all of the highlights we've talked about today can be found in our handy highlights playlist at the bottom of the YouTube or in your show notes on your podcast, just pointing in directions. You can find it there. We will be at Survivor Series. We will be taking over.
We'll be taking over the Survivor Series pay-per-view. We'll be in the ring.
Please do.
And I'm just like, sorry, we won't let you into the arena because you have threats of interrupting the show. We're not interrupting the show.
We will be taking over the Rahapgrams. That's RHAP's Instagram. And we will be, when I tell you, we're going to try and document our whole entire day, like, trip up to New York. We're going to be hanging out with some of your favorite RHAP people before the event. So definitely check that out. We will be in the event. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll stop some people, ask them how they felt about the show, during the show. I don't know. Maybe some, like, on the streets reporting or something.
You know, I think, by the way, this is thinking out loud, but, you know, a lot of people who I'm sure will see that story have never been to a WWE or a pro wrestling show or a sports entertainment show of any sort for that matter. So, you know, we'll give them the experience. We'll see what we get.
That's
have to
a great
deal
call.
With. We'll see what we have to deal with. I don't think I've been to Madison Square Garden for a few WWE shows in my life, maybe even a non-WWE show at some point. Probably not. But, you know, we'll see what they give us in New York. Because New York the New York area has some of the most passionate fans. That's kind of where I grew up, you know, in that New York, New Jersey area with wrestling fans. So it'll be exciting. We'll see what we get. Yeah,
this will be my third pay-per-view. At Barclays Center.
Third.
Yes.
You haven't heard.
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's third. I was about to say fourth, but I'm pretty sure it's just the third. So
Mari fourth with her third. And I will also be there as a second.
Yeah.
To the number one, the EST of RHAP, Mari. There we go.
Thank you. Look at that. And the Bark, I love going to the Barclays Center for WWE. Like, I've not had a bad experience yet. So we'll show you guys that. Like Matt said, so you got, but you gotta follow the RHAP Instagram at Rahapgrams. That's at RHAPGRAMS. Rahapgrams. Yes. Other than that, Matt, where can people find you?
Oh my gosh. I thought you'd never ask. You could find me at Matt Scotchy W on the social media. That's one place where you could find me. I'm here on the Wrestling Rehab Up each and every week. That's basically where I pop up. Otherwise, I don't know. There's just other places. Like, stay tuned. You never know where I'll pop up. But Mari, where can the people find you?
Of course, you can always find me at on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. To like the number two. You can find us, of course, here every week, Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. And you can find me every week on Post Show Recaps, reviewing Insecure with Chappelle and LaTanya. This week, LaTanya was out. You know, let's get well soon. She was out, and we had the great Asia Welch on for us to step in. We threw there were some hot takes. There were some, we really went in on this last episode, of course. So please go check out the Insecure, recap, Post Show Recaps, podcast at Post Show Recaps. That's where you can find it. We also have our own feed, so you can check us out there.
That's right. That's where you heard that. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
There we
so,
go.
It's time to go.
It is time to go. There are people. The people need us. The world needs us. The dogs need us.
And
it's a beautiful, beautiful day. You'll see us in a few days. You'll hear from us in a few days on Rehapgrams from Survivor Series. But Mari, you know, I don't usually close us out. I could say something about flying elbows, but like that's not me. So.
Watch out for any flying elbows. We'll see you next week. Bye.